Thank you again to all of you for being here today, as well as those of you that are on Zoom. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and meditations of our collective hearts be acceptable to you, my rock and redeemer. Bless me in the message on my heart for this morning, that it may be what is meaningful to your beloved community, so they can hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. As I mentioned earlier, today is the first Sunday of Lent, and it is the season in the church calendar leading up to Easter, which started this past Wednesday with Ash Wednesday, the 40-day period of spiritual preparation, which can be a time of eye-opening to transformative change, because we can use this time to evaluate where we are in our own spiritual journey and be honest about what can be next if we would be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit and let the Spirit lead us in an opportunity of self-reflection and deepening our journey with Christ. If you would be willing to be curious this Lenten season by allowing yourself to learn more about Jesus in some ways which you may find uncomfortable, I think you will be surprised. Surprised because it is in this time of Lent that we have the opportunity to seek to know Jesus more, know more about his message, know more about his life, and know more about his resurrection. This can be our season to grow our understanding of Christ and grow and strengthen our relationship with Christ as well. As I mentioned earlier, I would invite you to take part in the 40-day reading plan using the Gospel of Luke, which copies are on the welcome table. They'll be included in the e-blast communications that go out, so it'd be available. We're also in the season of Lent where you are invited to be in prayer and reflection and fasting by giving up something. I would ask you to consider perhaps either in addition to or instead taking up something new as part of your Lenten practice. I'm doing that this year. I'm taking on two new ways of prayers that I'm leaning into thanks to the wonderful invitation by Deacon Judith. I hadn't really participated much in Lectio Divina and centering prayer, but I'm really finding how it's very calming for me and helping me to be more focused so that I could really try and be able to discern and hear what God is saying to me in return. So this Lenten season, I am taking up something as well. And so that's why there's some Lenten commitment cards there. Feel free to take one to help you write what it is you're going to fast on, give up perhaps these 40 days, and perhaps something that you would like to take up. Also, as I mentioned, for Lent, my messages will be rooted in the Gospel of Luke. This is also consistent with the book study that Deacon Judith is leading that's going to start tomorrow. So if you haven't registered, please do so, so you could receive the Zoom. They're going to take place Monday nights at 6:30 via Zoom, and you don't want to miss it. Also, beginning on World Day of Prayer this coming Friday, the 3rd of March, can you believe it? We're at March already this next week. I will be available for a prayer time during the afternoon via Zoom and in the evening. And then the following week, we'll move to Wednesdays, where during the lunch period, and you'll see the communications come out, there will be a half an hour period there, more than likely 12:15 on Wednesdays during Lent for 30 minutes, and then in the evening for those that work and are not able. And it's really just an invitation if people want to drop in midweek for just a time of prayer, that they're invited to do so. And that'll be via Zoom, and we'll provide the information, but you'll need to email me so I can give you the password, so that way we at least keep control. It's within our community. So look out for the details. Before I get to this morning's scripture, I wanted to give you some background as introduction to the Gospel of Luke. Most mainline scholars believe that the Gospel of Luke was written at the end of the first century between AD 75 and 90. And while the gospel does not identify its author, Christian tradition has Luke, a physician and companion of Paul, as the author of both Luke and Acts. The book of Acts is written as a sequel to Luke. And Luke addressed this gospel to a man named Theophilus, who is said to possibly he may have commissioned the gospel. And in the introduction, Luke indicates that his goal was to write a carefully ordered account of the life of Jesus, having investigating everything carefully so that hearers would have confidence in the soundness of the instruction that we receive. Some of the most loved and popular stories and parables are found only in the Gospel of Luke, and they include the story of Zacchaeus, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, the parable of the Good Samaritan, also the parable of the prodigal son, and Jesus' resurrection appearance on the road to Emmaus. It also includes the angel's appearance to Zechariah and to Mary, as well as the nativity story most of us tell in Christmas. If we look closely at Luke's stories, those not found in any of the other gospels, the way Luke tells the stories that are found in other gospels, we will see a common theme and prominence on Jesus' appeal to outsiders, outcasts, and outlaws. That is, the marginalized, the broken, those who felt unseen, alone, or what society perhaps would call second class. Immediately at the beginning of Luke's gospel, we hear the story of Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, whom were very old. You may remember them from our Advent series. They were the parents of John the Baptist, who had been unable to have children for decades. And scholars think that they were between their 60s and 80s in age when God chose them to be John the Baptist's parents. There were other examples of people having children much older in life, like Adam and Sarah, who were 190 years old, respectively, when they had their son, Isaac. Even Moses was 80 when God called him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. The reminder that older adults are a tremendous gift to the church and that God calls and equips them to serve, as they often have incredible gifts of wisdom, experience, and leadership. Some may think they may not relate to how things are done now or perhaps not tech savvy. However, we are reminded by these stories how we never retire from the work of God. As God calls us to and in whatever stage of life we find ourselves. Then we further hear in chapter one of Luke, of how God has a purpose and calls young adults too, just like older adults. When we hear how God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth to Mary, who was likely the age of 13 or 14 and already engaged to be married to Joseph, as it was common for women to marry at that young age. The angel appeared to let her know she would bear a baby boy, would need to name him Jesus, and told her how special he would be and the impact this baby would have on the world. We likely would not have taken someone that young seriously, as they could easily be considered naive or perhaps inexperienced. People could consider them as having little to contribute and possibly dismiss our young people. However, along with Mary, we see in 1 Timothy how Timothy is encouraged to set a positive example for others by his speech, his behavior, love, and faith. And this because the writer understands that some people may look down on Timothy because of his youth, thinking he may be immature or inexperienced. We also see this in the story of David when he was young and fought Goliath, the giant. This is a consistent theme of God's call can include all ages, so we cannot limit others by our own frame of reference or thoughts, as that is not how God sees us or calls us. I remember within my first week here, joining after July 1st, Jim McGrogan made a trip out to the church office. And if you know, it's not easy for Jim to really get out and make a trip. But he came out to meet me personally, welcome me, and tell me why he loves being here at Twin Towers. Doug McIntosh introduced himself as the church historian and told me he would like to introduce me to Twin Towers' history room, filled with everything I would need to know about the history of this church, along with pictures of all previous pastors. And Doug knew exactly what was in each corner of this room. And he proceeded to share with me the written documentation of the history of Twin Towers. Well, it was hard for Doug, because it's upstairs. It was hard for Doug to walk up the stairs. He had his assistant come with him and take me upstairs himself to the history room, even when I said he didn't have to. The love for God's work through this church was more important than the physical limitations to get up to the history room or to make the journey to come into the office. The love and care by these men were priceless and are priceless gifts of wisdom imparted to me, which I greatly receive with great responsibility. I see Israel Quezon, a young adult who could be spending his free time when he's not working. He could be traveling or doing a lot of other things that people his age want to do. Hang out, right? Hang out with friends. A lot of different things he could be doing. But instead, he decided to say yes to God's call to dip his toes into church leadership in spite of challenges. He studies, takes trainings on bended knee and discernment for the leading of the Holy Spirit, and he brings so much joy, love, wisdom, and courage for someone his age. God has a purpose for each of us, no matter our age, no matter our difference. We can be better for it by not putting up barriers of what we think can work. That, my friends, is God's work to do, to determine, and it's also God's looks at the heart of a woman and or a man. In this morning's scripture from Luke 1:52, we hear in the New Revised Version, he brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. It reflects a key theme in Luke's gospel that in Jesus, God is lifting up those of low status, those who may be called by society as outsiders, outcasts, and outlaws, ordinary people, what society considers unexpected people, many of them struggling, and some did not have their act together. In the first century Judaism, there was a term called Amharets, which meant people of the land. And during that time, it was used as a derogatory term used to describe those who were uneducated or considered ignorant. Devout and educated religious leaders sometimes used the term Amharets to describe the uncivilized. It was a condescending term meant to name someone as ignorant or unsophisticated. But yet, we see Jesus in the Gospels, but especially in Luke, seeking out, ministering to, and lifting up what society considered and called the Amharets. He appealed to them and saw them as beloved children of God. You see, Jesus' mother and her fiancé, Joseph, was also considered they could have been considered Amharets because they were from Nazareth, which was considered a small town or village of no significance. Jesus himself was considered among the lowly, which we see in the story of his birth, where he is laid in a manger. Even some of Jesus' disciples, like Peter, were likely considered Amharets. And yet, we hear how Jesus seeked them out, taught them, empowered them, ministered to them, and through them. Today is the first Sunday of Lent, but also the last Sunday of our Black History Month, where our theme was seeing and caring for the other, inspired by the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 34, where we hear the words of Jesus when he says to his disciples, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. We spent the last three Sundays telling stories about how caring for the other came about as a result of seeing the other, getting to know the differences in each other and embracing and appreciating those differences, even when they were mucky, yucky, and didn't smell well. So it is no coincidence that we now start our journey through the next 40 days of Lent through Luke's gospel, reminding us how Jesus came to lift up the lowly, starting with the opening stories of how God chooses and calls the very old and young people to bring about God's purposes. The reminder that if we can see others through the loving eyes of Jesus, God in the flesh, we can show others our differences, our areas of honor and worthy of celebration. God sees us all with beautiful reflections of his love, and we should not separate each other by what we think or what we know. As this morning's scripture from Luke 1:52, from Mary's Magnificat, her song of praise after she finds out that she will be the mother of Jesus, knowing her state in society, Mary says that God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. This is to remind us that God's love in the name of Jesus is the same for each of us. None more worthy or important than the other, and God's call is also true for each of us. My question is, what is God calling you that you either may not have felt was for you? Perhaps this is a good time to be in prayer, more reflection and discernment during this season of Lent. May you experience a holy Lent and return to God. Amen.